Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Tuesday morning, and the 9 o'clock hour is brought to you by Wawa. Wawa's new built-to-order wraps are here. It's all the flavor you love, wrapped up and ready to move with your day. Try an Italian or a Bacon Ranch chicken steak wrap today. Gotta have a Wawa. By the way, full disclosure, total admission here.
What?
I had a Wawa pizza yesterday.
Oh,
I did.
So good.
It's actually far better than you might anticipate. I'm going to be real. Like, it's legitimately better than some of the other fast food chains out there. Like, I would take a Wawa pizza. If, like, you're taking the mom and pop place out of the equation, and you were telling me your options today are Wawa, Pizza Hut, Domino's, Papa John's, it's Wawa, and it's not even close.
Really?
I was blown away by it. I got the 14-inch one. It was relatively cheap. It was under, like, $14. It was, like, 11-something. And I got to tell you, I housed it like a machine, and I felt bad about myself because I did this after putting in 2 miles on the treadmill.
But
so it was all for nothing.
No, you put no.
It break even.
You broke even.
But I didn't accomplish anything. That's why I'm very upset this morning. But I got to tell you, and I'm not being paid to say that. Wawa pizza, not bad. All right, yeah. Let's get to Pennsylvania. I think this is a very interesting story because I think Pennsylvania is going to be decided by an even tighter margin than it was 4 years ago. Certainly Trump took it in 2016. But the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette has a very interesting story written by Selena Zito. And the headline reads, Pennsylvania's presidential vote won't be decided in Philly or Pittsburgh. She starts off by writing the following. Joe Burkhart is busy working at his job as a maintenance manager at a processor here in Cambria County. Like many people who have spent their career working with their hands, he knows that unexpected layoffs in companies who have been around for decades suddenly shuttering their doors is part of today's technological revolution. Like many people here born in the 60s, Burkhart says he was born and raised a Democrat. Quote, everyone in my family was a Democrat. It's just what you did, he said, adding when he first started looking for work and as an adult, being a Democrat was basically a requirement to get a job, quote, especially a union job. Then Barack Obama ran for re-election in 2012, and the party went from a coalition that included New Deal Democrats like Burkhart to a, quote, coalition of the ascendant, centered on minorities, the millennial generation, and progressive, college-educated, upscale whites, especially women, a coalition that had its beginnings with Al Gore's candidacy. So she goes on to talk about, in this column, this transition of what used to be, well, you're a Dem by default to becoming a Republican. And we know that Republicans have made a lot of strides in Pennsylvania growing registered voters and voting R. She goes on to say, displaced legacy Democrat voters like Burkhart were a big part of the coalition that placed Donald Trump in the winner's circle in Pennsylvania 8 years ago in 2016. The election that year marked the first time a Republican had won our Commonwealth since H.W. Bush in 1988. And then she also talks about a mathematical, I would say genius, very, very bright numerical whiz kid, Dave Wasserman, who saw this coming in 2016. Wasserman, the senior editor and elections analyst for the Cook Political Report, calculated that Trump needed just 2,000 more votes in 10 or so counties that Mitt Romney won or came close to winning. And even if Hillary Clinton did very well in both Philly and Pittsburgh, even if she won more votes than Obama, which she did significantly in Allegheny County, which is out in Pittsburgh, Trump would still win. She goes on to say, the key to Trump winning then and now was tweaking the margins in existing red counties rather than flipping traditionally blue counties. In 2016, he did that, and he won the state by a little over 44,000 votes. 4 years later, he came up short. Wasserman says Trump could do it again this year. Quote, this change has been coming for almost 30 years. Wasserman crunched Pennsylvania's electoral trends since 1996, and the numbers showed that Pennsylvania has become 0.4% more Republican every cycle. In 1996, 28 of Pennsylvania's 67 counties went for Bill Clinton over Bob Dole. By 2012, just 13 counties went for Barack Obama over Mitt Romney. So they go on to highlight the counties that will matter. Luzerne County, Erie County, a few others, and most notably, probably to this audience, Northampton County, which is Easton and Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. For those that are unaware, maybe you live in South Jersey or Delaware, you have no idea where Northampton County is. Go up the Northeast Extension, get off in Allentown, go down about 15 miles, and you have the Lehigh Valley. You have Allentown, which is Lehigh County. Bethlehem is a mix between Lehigh and Northampton County, and then Easton is Northampton County. And I find it very fascinating because I know many people that were traditional Democrats, not hardcore liberal, certainly not progressive, in Northampton County before I moved to Tennessee in 2018. I know many that voted Trump in 2016 merely because they did not want Hillary Clinton. And then conversely, I also know, and I've mentioned my wife's crazy uncle, who's part Bernie Sanders, part Alex Jones. He was one of those guys who voted Trump in 16 because he thinks the Clintons are war criminals. But then he voted Biden in 20. I think it would be very beneficial if you're the Trump campaign. And I know he was just here recently at the NRA in February and, of course, in Philadelphia for the sneaker launch. I wouldn't even, you know, we talk about Joe, how many times he comes to Philly. If I'm Trump and I'm talking about coming to PA, Philly's probably a losing endeavor in all likelihood, right? Like, I think we all realize that it's a formality. It's not going to go his way. But if you're Trump, dude, get out in Northampton County. Get out in some of these little counties that could actually be the result in you getting Pennsylvania or not. I mean, because there's a lot of people in my neck of the woods where I grew up that voted Trump in 16 that kind of fell off that wagon 4 years later. And now they might have buyer's remorse. There might be people out there that voted Trump once and then voted Biden once. And they're like, man, the last 3.5 years have been painful. Sell me on why I should come back when you had me in 2016. I thought it was an interesting breakdown from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette because we get so enamored with the two anchors, right? It's like being at a mall. You've got like one big anchor store and another big anchor store, but it's the other little stores
yourself,
in between,
Nick.
Right?
Yourself.
Yeah, you had a Boscov's and a Bonton, but it's the little shops in between, folks.
Those don't exist anymore.
I know. I bring back. We need to make malls great again.
You are 100% correct, though, about him, Trump, needing to be here more. I don't know why he isn't.
Because he's in court. They got him tied up.
Well, that's true. Yeah. I mean, but like, you know, forget just coming to Philadelphia. Like, get out there in the middle of the state in some of these, you know, areas like where this guy's talking about, what was his name? I just said Joe Burkhart. Like the people that were born in the 60s or 70s that just were kind of raised Democrat by default that went the opposite way in 2016. Because, I mean, let's look at it. I mean, Pennsylvania, you're talking 80,000 votes. I think it's more difficult than some are alluding to. Some people are saying Pennsylvania is an easy flip for Trump. I know the polls would suggest that. I don't think that it is in all reality, but I would be out there in Northampton County, Erie County, Luzerne County, all of these, quote, lesser counties.
Yeah, I would concentrate on the Philly suburbs, too. I mean, they're very, it's very winnable.
Bucks for sure you should get up, right?
Yeah.
Especially with everything that's been going on in Bucks County the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Beaver County, Westmoreland County. Yeah.
Beaver County. Sorry. 5-year-old.
Beaver. I think it ties into what you were saying yesterday with James Carville when he was talking about the preachy
females.
Yes. And that he seems to be worried about, especially the union vote, the working class vote, working class and middle class people.
Yep.
To your point, Nick.
Right.
That, you know, just the working person, working, you know, families trying to put food on the table.
Yep. Let's get to Jim. He is in Wilmington. He's got some thoughts this morning on some of the swing states and the polling with Trump. Jim, good morning. How are you?
Very well. And yourself, sir?
We are doing well, sir.
Okay. I saw last night on Fox that in the five swing states, and to no surprise, everyone knows that Trump is leading. But in those five swing states, all five senators are trailing between two and four points, and McCormick is trailing by 4 points in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, you were just going how we have to swing over voters to Republican, and Trump is doing better, but why isn't McCormick doing better? Seems like we got a lot of work to do.
Oh, I think that, to your point, the GOP as a whole has a ton of work to do. You can look at federal, the national polling. You can look at some of these, other races for sure. What I find interesting is looking at the way we are projecting all right now, there's many people that believe Republicans are going to lose the House but win the Senate. And then you get to the president, and let me just pull up these numbers because this illustrates the point he's talking about. So he said Fox had Trump leading all five. I've got the real Clear Politics. They take the polling average for all of these different surveys. Real Clear polling average, Trump right now, swing states, Michigan and Pennsylvania. This is key here. Pennsylvania, Michigan only. Trump is up 3.7 points with the RCP average. Mitchell Research, Trump is up 3. CNN, Trump is up 8. The Hill / Emerson, it is a tie. Quinnipiac, Trump plus 3. Bloomberg / Morning Consult, Trump plus 2. Fox News, Trump plus 2. The Detroit News, Trump is up 8. So those are a few of the... Now, I will share one that's not in his favor. We found this yesterday. The new Susquehanna PR poll of Pennsylvania is out, and it's got Biden up 5 points.
Don't read polls that are not in his favor, because people
don't
like
YouTube,
that.
Yeah, YouTube will get mad.
YouTube will get mad. Right. How dare you read that poll?
They won't hear the 8 that I gave where Trump is up, but the 9th where Trump is will lose. So 8 out of 9 will not be enough.
That's dumb.
And if you look at this, I think.
By the way, all these polls are dumb, and I don't believe a single one of them.
No.
Whether they said Trump is up or down, I don't believe any of them.
They've got a breakdown, too, for the one I just mentioned for Susquehanna. You can look at this on Twitter. I retweeted it. In the top left corner of the state, you have a few blue counties. You have Mercer, Forest, Erie, Crawford, and then Allegheny. And then you have to scan all the way across to the right-hand side of the state to get to Bucks, Chester, and Delco that are all blue. Everywhere in between is red. I mean, we're talking Northampton, Lehigh, Berks, Carbon, Monroe, Schuylkill, Lebanon, Dauphin, Montour, Lycoming. I'm working my way from the right-hand side of the state to the center of the state. Lycoming, Cambria, Somerset, Bedford. I mean, right now it looks like Biden has about 9 counties to Trump's probably 40-plus. But still, Trump's still losing in the polling.
Tim Kruger on the YouTube chat writes, it is beyond me that anyone would vote for Creepy Joe. Let me just say this about that, is that they look at you the same way, right? The people who vote for Joe Biden say, I can't believe anybody would vote for Donald Trump. Get that out of your head that you can't believe anybody would vote for Donald Trump, or you can't believe anybody would vote for Joe Biden. They would. The last election we had, we saw the biggest turnout I think this country has ever seen.
Right.
So a lot of people now, whether they were voting for Biden or against Trump is a story unto itself. But people voted for him. So everybody needs to get out of these bubbles where they're like, nobody's voting for Joe Biden or nobody's going to vote for Donald Trump. A lot of people voted for both.
But it is a fascinating. I don't know if this is a contradiction, but take polls with a grain of salt. We've cited countless polls of how people are fatigued and disinterested in both options, yet turnout is record high.
Yeah.
So to me, yes, you
turnout in 2020 was
turnout in 20, and I
don't think turnout in 16 was.
No. But do you think turnout in 24 is going to be higher than 20?
I don't.
You don't.
I do not.
Okay. I tend to think right now less people will vote for Joe and more people will vote for Trump. You know, outcome to the side, I think you're going to see a slight decline in Joe, and you're going to see a slight uptick in Trump, which makes it closer. We'll see who wins and all the other factors. But it's interesting. It's almost like people are disinterested in both, but the thought of the other guy winning is the motivating factor for why you vote against. It's not so much that you're voting for Biden, you're voting against Trump. Whereas it's different with Trump. You are voting because you like Trump and you hate Joe. It's not the other. There's no, I really, and this is where I would disagree with you a little bit, Greg, but don't take it too much out of context. I don't think it's that people, how can people vote for Joe, not because they like Joe, not because they love him, not because he's been successful. They are voting for Joe because they despise the other guy. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
There's really not people. I really don't believe there are people out there that like Joe Biden. They just sit there and they say, I don't like the other guy. I hate the orange man.
I would not listen, dude. I hear what you're saying, and I tend to agree with you a little bit, but people do like Joe Biden. They do.
I see. That's the thing I don't get.
You guys need to get this. Not you, but like the listeners need to get it out of their head that how can somebody like Joe Biden? That's what got the Democrats. That's how they lost in 2016. Is because Hillary Clinton and all the liberals are like, nobody really likes Trump. How can anybody like Trump?
See, but
that's not going to happen. And it did.
Here's where I disagree with you on the fact that people like Biden. And now, rally turnouts are not indicators of who's going to win an election. Much like polling is not an indicator, right? Trump can pack a house. Doesn't mean he's going to win, but Trump could fill up 15,000 at a rally. Joe Biden shows up at a local taco spot. He gets 9 people.
I get it, but it's not this. It's different. It's different. You know what I mean? Like people go out to see Trump. Nobody's going out to see Biden, but a lot of people will still vote for him.
Oh, yes. No, I'm not saying they won't vote for him. I'm just saying that they're going to vote for him not because they like him, but because they hate the alternative. Am I making sense when I say that?
Yes.
I hope I am.
Yeah, you are.
Okay. All right. 855-839-1210. We'll come back, get to the morning. Are we doing the big three now or after the clip?
After the we should break here.
Okay. Morning mystery movie clip is coming up next, and then we'll get to Dawn's big three as we continue live this morning on Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Parks Casino, this is how you win. Action, entertainment, great dining. All the excitement only at Parks Casino. Perfect for girls' night out, date night, or happy hour. It's my casino of choice and the official winning partner of your Philadelphia 76ers. 3,200 state-of-the-art slots, 115 live table games, state-of-the-art sportsbook, 150-foot video wall. I love it. And those comfy reclining seats. Perfect for the College Hoops Tournament, MMA, or baseball. Opening day coming soon. Plus award-winning restaurants, Parks Grill Steakhouse, Liberty Bell Gastropub, Bamboo Noodle House. And see the top headliners coming soon to the X-Site Center. The Frontmen, March 29th, Clay Walker, July 13th, and Dylan Scott, August 10th, comic Nick Swardson from Reno 911, April 6th, and America's Top Psychic Medium, Matt Frazier, April 20th. Free parking, valet parking, EV charging stations. For all things Parks Casino, you want to visit parxcasino.com. Parks Casino, this is how you win. Must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Happy Tuesday to all of you. Looks like another beautiful day in the Delaware Valley. Dawn's Big Three coming up in just a moment. We've got What's on the Cut Sheet Part 2 also on the way. But right now, speaking of movies and cinema, it's time for our morning mystery movie clip.
And now, the morning mystery movie clip on Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Anyways, we thought we'd call y'all to see what you got.
Yeah, we know you can talk to the press and sign autographs and stuff.
We can do more than that.
Oh, yeah? Well, we can teach you how to play like the real Team USA.
Yeah, what would you know about it?
You gotta earn every inch.
Tag team, back again. Check it, direct it, let's begin. Party on, party people, let me get some noise. DC's in the house, jump the joints. There's a party over here, a party over there. Move it.
dig it until you score that goal.
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
And I believe in that movie, Stalker was originally casted to be one of the Bash Brothers, but he turned it down. Today's prize is a pair of tickets to Willie Nelson's 4th of July picnic with Bob Dylan, Robert Plant, Alison Krauss, Maren Morris, Mavis Staples, and more at the Freedom Mortgage Pavilion. Tickets go on sale 10 a.m. this Friday, March 29th at Ticketmaster.com. Caller 12-855-839-1210.
That prize screams me, doesn't it?
It does. You would have been great in this movie, by the way.
Okay.
I could totally see you that.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
You've never seen it?
No, come on.
No. God. Are you being honest? You've never seen the clip we just played?
I've never seen the movie, no.
So do you have any idea what this is?
Of course I know what it is.
Okay,
but
so
I
saw the email.
I've never seen the movie.
I think it's relatively easy. We'll find out. 855-839-12.
Judging by the phones, that doesn't look super easy, bro.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it is a random. It's not one of the most notable clips of the film. I'll give you that much.
Okay.
All right. Let's get to Dawn Stensland's Big Three at 925.
It's the Big Three and Nine on Kale & Company.
Big Three at Nine, sponsored by Anderson Mechanical Corporation. Thank you, AMC, on this sunny Tuesday, heading up to 54 degrees. We're awaiting a live news conference update on that bridge collapse in Baltimore. Two people recovered from the water. They're still searching for at least seven people. There is another report that continues that they have to consider that as many as 20 people may be trapped in vehicles beneath this river in the port of Baltimore.
Wow.
So you have an active search and rescue. They're still calling it search and rescue. And as well this morning, the developing tragic story, word of a 31-year-old NYPD policeman shot and killed by a career criminal during a traffic stop in Queens, happened last night. They're calling it a senseless act of violence. And he's identified as 31-year-old officer Jonathan Diller, married daddy of a one-year-old little boy, shot in the stomach after police tried to remove that suspect, ID'd as a 34-year-old man identified as Guy Rivera from the passenger seat of a car. And this guy is a repeat offender, long criminal rap sheet, arrested and released more than 21 times.
Yeah, another guy that shouldn't be on the street, another guy that benefits from this absurd bail reform and this criminal justice reform, and now we have an officer dead.
It's tragic.
Way to go, Democrats.
And number three this morning, all eyes on SCOTUS, the Supreme Court's case over access to the abortion drug known as mifepristone. It could upend the way the FDA broadly regulates medicines and other products. And so courts for many years giving the FDA a lot of rope, a lot of leeway to make judgments about health and safety. This puts that into question, but also it could have other ramifications as far as those generic drugs, because the FDA decides which drugs can go generic as well. So watching this important SCOTUS case, as that's one of the, as well as January 6th cases, there's another one too.
By the way, whatever way this this abortion pill ruling goes from the Supreme Court, if it's overturned, or I believe that's the end for the Republicans in the 2024 election.
Wow, you're calling it already.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to be decided, I'm guessing, until the summer, right, Dawn?
Right.
Yes. And the reason Greg's saying that is that more than half, maybe 56%.
I just saw 60%.
60%?
Yep.
Of this procedure is not actually a procedure in a clinic. It's a pill prescribed, and sometimes that comes in the mail.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I mean, to Greg's point, would it mean that another drug would emerge or what? And this is Pennsylvania. We just had the, with birth control pills, no longer is a prescription needed.
Yep.
and on by a the, separate issue.
And by the way, that's this pill is the majority of the way abortions are performed.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's over half.
Yeah.
So, it's if they rule, it's over for the GOP.
I mean, they haven't won since the summer of 2022. Yep. So
you're exactly right.
I don't think you're out of line by making that prognostication at all.
So Supreme Court of the United States, watching them very carefully. We are sponsored this morning by Anderson Mechanical Corporation. They are the people to call to make sure your home's all ready to keep cool this summer. Just call them today. Schedule a spring tune-up at an awesome discount. Visit our friends at AMC on the web, amcontheweb.com. AMCOnTheWeb.com. Thank you for sponsoring our Big Three.
All right. Thank you very much, Dawn. We have Greg in the Northeast. He is our Morning Mystery movie clip winner this morning. Greg, I thought that was pretty easy. Stocker didn't know it. The other Greg didn't know it. Your thoughts on the movie clip. What movie did we just play for you, sir?
It was number two, Mighty Ducks 2.
That is correct. Yeah. Ducks 2, Gordon Bombay.
Yeah. Everybody would say, knew it, what it was. All you had to do is listen to who was speaking. One of the actors, if you've seen the movie, then you knew who it was.
Correct.
So I can't believe they didn't get it.
That's unbelievable. Well, Greg, you did get it, and you've got the pair of tickets to Willie Nelson's 4th of July picnic.
Nice.
Thank you. I'll be looking for Stocker in the stands, firing one up with him. I'm sure he is.
That's awesome. Greg in the Northeast. Let me grab Mike in Harleysville. He's actually a Joe Biden voter, and he's going to tell us why he is voting for and supporting the big guy. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you? Can you hear me?
We can hear you well. Go right ahead, sir.
Yeah. Biden governs. Biden passes laws that help the U.S. economy and help our lives. And he's fighting against the huge propaganda machine of negativism, and the negativism as well, TV and radio propaganda. You guys are right there, smack dab in the middle of it. So what do you say?
So let me ask you, you said media propaganda and he's fighting against the machine. Are you aware of the machine?
Your machine.
No. We're a small machine. The machine. If we're ranking the machines.
You're a big machine. You're a big machine.
Well, if we're ranking the machines, Mike, we're looking at mainstream media versus what we do here on this station. You do realize you have like an 8-to-1 or a 10-to-1 media advantage, right?
Well, you have to realize you're part of a large conglomerate of hundreds of radio stations around the country. I travel a lot. That pound all these negative themes. Like, sure, Joe Biden's an older man. He's, what, 80, 81?
Mm-hmm.
But he does his job. We need a president that does
Mike, let me ask you something. What exactly does he do? Let me ask you, so you said about the thriving economy. You said the economy's great, so tell me what's so great about this economy. And don't give me the stock market, because that's not an indicator.
Our GDP indicators are high and strong.
What's your grocery bill look like, Mike? How much does it cost to fill up your car?
Greater than 2%.
What does it cost to heat and cool your home these days? I'm wondering from you, because you're the one who's telling me Biden's economy is so good.
$250 a month. What?
Well,
I said $250
Mike, a month. Mike, to listen, you have to stop talking. So you would hear me if you didn't keep interrupting me. So I'm curious, what makes Joe so good? The economy, we've cleared that up. What about the border? How's the border look, Mike?
Border situation is horrible.
Okay. And whose fault is that?
On the border.
Is that Trump's fault or Biden's fault?
It's neither's fault.
It's neither's fault.
We have to come together in the Congress. It's the American voters who will not put people in who
Mike,
will vote
your guy, for laws. Your guy undid 100 executive actions of Trump with the stroke of a pen. It's not both people's fault. It's Joe Biden's fault. Joe Biden's vice president has been to the border as many times as I've been to Neptune. But thank you for the call, Mike. 855-839-1210. All right, let's get to... Are we breaking or are we doing the cut sheet?
Break, yeah.
All right, we'll get to what's on the cut sheet part due when we come back. Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Tuesday morning. Coming up tomorrow, Tony Bruno live from Florida at 8:30. And also confirmed for Thursday at 9 o'clock, our buddy Sean Farish.
Wow.
Looking forward to those 2 days. Always good to get our normal ensemble of contributors together for a few days. Looking forward to that. Tony will be all ready for baseball. He'll be in his Harry Callis mode. He's been in Harry Callis mode since early February, since football came to a close. So looking forward to Bruno tomorrow and our buddy Sean, a.k.a. Donald Trump, on Thursday. Let's get to Greg Stockers. What's on the cut sheet, part two?
What's on the cut sheet?
I do. We've been updating you all morning on this this bridge collapse that happened in Baltimore in the early mornings of Tuesday this morning at about 1:30, playing press conferences and all kinds of stuff. The Baltimore mayor was on CNN this morning, and he's pleading for news networks to quit showing the bridge disaster video over and over again.
You know, I used to have this fight with sports fans back in the day when networks would show horrific injuries over and over. Like, oh my God, he landed on his head. He probably broke his neck. Can we stop showing it? I always feel like I give the benefit of the doubt to the network as a news entity to show what is pertinent news.
I agree with you. Dawn, your thoughts on us playing the, well, on news networks playing the bridge collapse?
What that tells me is that they know there are mass casualties here.
Ah.
That's what that tells me.
That's a good point.
If they thought everybody was going to survive, then
yeah,
it would be different. So what, unfortunately, you know, we're now looking at, it's now 9:40, this happened at about 1:40 a.m.
8 hours.
You know,
yeah.
In frigid, I mean, you know, who could survive even if you had an air pocket in the vehicle?
Mm-hmm.
They've identified the vehicles with the sonar and what have you. They know that they're down there. But, you know, now we're looking at all these hours in, what did they say, 40, at most 47, 48 degree water?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Here's the Baltimore mayor earlier this morning on a CNN Cut 19 Phil Go.
I want to get us to Mayor Brandon Scott, the mayor of Baltimore, who is with us right now on the phone. Mayor Scott, first of all, I just want to say that I am so sorry that your community is going through this right now and that there are families wondering and worrying about their loved ones at this hour. Can you tell me so far what you know about exactly what happened here to the Francis Scott Key Bridge?
Well, listen, we have an unspeakable tragedy. We know that this vessel struck the bridge and the bridge collapsed. There were individuals working on the bridge at that time. There are cars in the water. Our fire department has confirmed that as they lead this ongoing search and rescue mission through sonar. That is where our focus is. It's about those souls and people that we're trying to find and get out of this water. We know that there's going to be questions about the bridge and traffic and the port, but right now everyone in this world's focus should be about these souls and those families who are wondering if these people are going to walk back in the door after they walked out to work last night.
Yeah, that's a really good point. The anxiety of all this, and then plus just watching the video of what happened and how quickly the bridge failed. Can you give me some sense of what you thought at first light this morning when you saw the pictures of actually what that bridge looks like with the barge slammed into it there? What were your initial thoughts?
Well, it was something out of an action movie. It's something you never think you would see. And being here right now looking at it is even more surreal. And it just makes you think about, again, those families, those individuals that were on that bridge, those folks that are even on that vessel, even more, because no one should have to endure. And I'm going to be the first to ask that CNN and everyone else stop showing the video. No one needs to see a possibility of their family member being severely injured or otherwise over and over and over again, because it's just traumatizing our community.
Yeah, I mean, I would disagree totally. I think it's the media's right to show that. Obviously, we live in a news cycle that people are, and we live in a world where people are always tuning in and tuning out. So somebody might be tuning in at 9:40 for the first time this morning. No idea 100%. What happened.
You're 100% correct.
Yeah.
Yep. You're 100% correct.
Yeah. But once you get the request and once they find out, they start pulling bodies out, if that's what's going to happen here, you look like a total jerk and insensitive. And so you'll see TV stations. What they're going to do is they'll freeze it. They'll freeze it at the point the barge hits, and they'll start altering that video and say that out of sensitivity, if the community's asking that, then you have to weigh that.
Do you agree with that approach?
I'll bet you that local stations are already doing it.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the national stations, I think that the idea is you don't want wallpaper video. Remember after 9/11, when at some point they said, please don't show the plane. And so they would show the plane go toward the building and they would freeze it. Remember that?
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
You'll see the same thing, I believe, happen here, especially for their local stations.
Good. Yeah, I'm with Nick. I feel like I understand it. Like, if you're a family member who's waiting to hear about your loved one, it's awful. But it's a huge news story, and it's a bridge collapsing. It's not like it's somebody getting their head blown off.
Well, funny you say that, because I was just going to bring up the story in Bucks County of the video that was on social media for a few hours. Remember that guy that beheaded his dad?
Yes.
Who we talked about a couple of months ago? Like, I understand why videos like that are taken down.
Yeah.
But stuff like this...
Yeah, it doesn't show anything. Like, it doesn't show
it's
death.
A wide shot. Again, it'll be the local stations because that's a local community. But there is a reason that you show this, and especially if you're interviewing an expert who's explaining what happened, that they had some kind of an engine failure. So I think if you are airing it and you're showing it and there's a purpose to it other than just airing something for sensational.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, that'll do it for part two of the Cut Sheet. We'll come back, find out what Dawn has on tap for her show today in music history, and who won Twitter today. It's a trifecta of today when we come back.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
I want my Nick, Don, and Greg. What the hell is that? Oh, my God.
9:50. It is Kale and Company. Some refer to it as Nick, Don, and Greg.
I want my Nick, Don, and Greg.
It was Greg Stalker singing.
Unbelievable.
As we continue, not a request of mine. Jim just took it on his own volition to add
that. It's unbelievable.
That. So I figured I would entertain him.
By the way.
And it's on the board.
Thank you for that, by the way. By the way, NBC Brass is expected today to determine the fate of Ronna McDaniel. She's done. She's absolutely out.
You cowards. You little weasels that allowing your talent to dictate your decision. Yeah.
There's been no official they're meeting today, but
they
I'm just,
do this, though.
I'm guessing that she's out.
They are wusses.
Yes. We don't want differing points of view.
By the way, Ryan Priebus, who is the head of the RNC, is a contributor at MSNBC. Michael Steele, who is the head of the RNC, is a contributor at MSNBC. This is effing ridiculous.
It is.
It really is.
Wow.
Well, it's either this. I think the edict is either she comes out against Trump or she gets canned.
Yeah, because those two individuals that I just named are
never Trumpers.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, if I'm CNN, I swoop in and hire Ronna McDaniel. Or if I'm Fox News, I hire Ronna McDaniel. I make MSNBC look like fools, is what I do.
Yeah.
And I'm no fan of Ronna McDaniel, but come on, give me a break.
Well, I hope that she just gets the money. Just sue them for whatever her contract is.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe Elon Musk will hire her to do a show on X and then not pay her. All right, let's get to what's on tap for the Dawn Show. Just 7.5 minutes out.
Yeah, so we're awaiting the latest news conference, multiple news conferences as far as what's happening in Baltimore. They may have an update for us. And for the young, only 3 years on the job, policeman, NYPD officer, no doubt, in here in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania, New Jersey, all these officers, they will attend this funeral because there's such a brotherhood, sisterhood, and camaraderie among our law and support of law enforcement and at the hands of a career criminal. So we got all that covered for you. We'll give you all those live updates. We have Anthony Hennen, PA Center Square, talking about looking at Pennsylvania and why an election in our region may, in fact, have huge ramifications for the nation in the upcoming presidential, contest, as we say, the campaign. So we'll look at that one very carefully. And as well, the Supreme Court, looking at all of these different Supreme Court decisions, including J6 and the abortion pill, what it really means for the upcoming election. We're going to look at all of that and so much more.
Supreme Court with a lot on their plate these next couple of months before they break for the summer.
So true.
All right, let's get to today in music history.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history. On Kale & Company.
Today, March 26th, we celebrate the birthdays of Steven Tyler of Aerosmith, Fran Sheehan, the bassist for Boston, and Diana Ross. We also lost Jan Berry of Jan and Dean on this day in 2004. And from out of left field, Ludwig von Beethoven in 1827. Notable singles include Daniel by Elton John in 73 and Feels Like the First Time by Foreigner in 77. Albums include Thin Lizzy's Jailbreak as well as Wings, The Sweetest Sound by Wings from 1976. Van Halen's Women and Children First was in 80 and Heart's Brigade was in 90. Also, Rich Girl hit number one by Hall & Oates in 77. Soundgarden Super Unknown also hit number one on this day in 94. And lastly, on this day in 85, radio stations in South Africa banned all Stevie Wonder records after he dedicated an Oscar win the night before to Nelson Mandela.
Wow.
For Kale & Company, I'm Phil Lomquist.
Another band I can't get behind. Unbelievable. And by the way, Beethoven died 197 years ago today.
Love it.
That's very interesting. The more you listen, the more you know. All right, that'll do it for us. Stay tuned. The Dawn Show is coming up next. We're back tomorrow morning at 6, Bruno at 8:30. Until then,
good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale & Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.